So the chapter, so you guys have been going through this book here, Fundamentals of Faith, and the lesson is lesson 6, and it is on salvation, okay? Now, I went through this, and, well, when Isaac first asked me, he was like, hey, would you like to do this? It was on salvation. I was like, hey, yeah, sure. It's great. It should be pretty, you know, straightforward. There's a lot of content in here. I am not going to get into the actual questions and workbook types of things that you will be going through next week. But I think the best way to go about approaching this section here is to talk about salvation by going through the Romans Road. And this actually does go through some of it here. And the one thing that I think is quite challenging is understanding salvation with regards to God's sovereignty and also man's responsibility. So I want to kind of look at it through that lens as we go through this, and I'm going to be asking for your help in reading some scripture and asking questions and making this kind of an interactive session here, okay? Because that's how we learn, that's how we learn together, grow together, etc. So let's go ahead and start this time with just a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity to look into your word as we approach your word and knowing more about you and your son, the Lord Jesus. Father, we do pray for your help in opening up our hearts and our minds, O Lord. And we just pray for your help, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. I'm just going to start off with a story of when I was in Sunday school. Okay. And I was probably a little bit younger than you guys here. I was maybe like 8 or 9 years old. And my best friend's mom was teaching Sunday school. We're all sitting in a small little classroom like one of these over here. And she started off and she said, okay, I want each and every one of you to prepare for a minute and tell me how you got saved. And I thought about it, and I just kind of had like a lump in my throat. I genuinely didn't know at the time. Like, I'd gone to church, I had professed Christ, I had done all these things, but when she asked that question, something hit my heart. So we went around the classroom, each of my classmates in that Sunday school kind of gave a little story about how they were saved. Okay? From the faith of a child. It was a beautiful thing. But I struggled with it. And as we went around, I felt this lump in my throat get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was paralyzed. I didn't know what to say. I said, Lord, I know, I was like, I profess you, I know I'm saved, but like, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know, I genuinely don't know what to do. So she went around, and then it came to me. And right away it came to me, I was like, okay, I think I know what I'm going to say. But then she says, okay, Ernie, actually, I know you're already saved, let's just move on, okay? In some ways, I was like, oh no, like, am I really saved? And do I have her fooled? Or am I saved? I just don't know how to articulate it. I don't know what to say, what to do. And I've just never been put on the spot like that before. So in some ways, I was let off the hook. In other ways, I was challenged to the core to really struggle, to really wrestle with knowing whether I was really saved or not. Okay? And I tell you this because growing up, you guys are growing up in Sunday school, we hear a lot of these things and we appreciate a lot of these things. We value a lot of God's word, but sometimes it becomes almost, automatic. It becomes more just muscle memory. Like we come and we do things, but do we really know why we're here? Do we really know how we got saved? Do we really know if we are saved? If you mess up, are you still saved? You know, all these things we struggle with. We sometimes wonder, boy, if I was really saved, would I be thinking these thoughts? Would I be doing these things? You know, and I think this is the wonderful thing about salvation. So I want to go through the Romans road with you guys, and you could help me out with the verses. And first, we're going to start outside of the Romans road. We're going to start in Ephesians, and I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 4. All right, so if someone can go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And guess what? Young ladies, it is okay if you guys read God's word, okay? So feel free, when I call out a scripture, to search it out and read God's word. We're going to read God's word together, okay? But I think I saw Silas's hand first, so I'll get you. All right.
Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love.
Okay. Can you go ahead and stand up I couldn't really hear you that great, but okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love.
Very good. Okay. I'm going to focus on the very first line here, okay? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Okay? He hath chosen us. According to what? On what basis? Feel free to chime in.
His word.
His word.
In love.
In love. Read Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us. Before the foundation of the world, the one right before that. It's almost too obvious. Boom, there you go. In him, okay? So the basis of everything, okay, is that God chose us before the foundations of the world, okay? He has chosen us in him, all right? And I want to emphasize that because that is a key thought in all of Scripture, is that the basis of our salvation, the basis of the foundation of our salvation, the initiation of our salvation, the completion of our salvation is based on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based in Him. Okay. Top here. All right. So, what can we get from that? According to Ephesians 1, did we initiate the salvation process? Yes or no?
No.
Good. Did we initiate seeking God? Did we seek God on our own volition? Good. Okay. So salvation did not begin with man seeking God. It began with God's eternal purpose in Christ. And that's what we read here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, okay? God had this plan from the very beginning, even before the foundations of the world, that he would bring to himself a people to share his glory with, okay? And this verse right here, Ephesians chapter 1, is explicitly saying that according as he has chosen us in him. Did he choose us because we're special? Because we did amazing things? Because we impressed him in some way? Okay, he chose us because we are chosen
in him.
That's why we're saved. It's because it's all because of Christ. It's all because of Jesus Christ. We are chosen in him. Okay? All right. So God planned redemption before the world even existed. And that lays the groundwork for going through the Romans road here. Okay? And I hope that as we go through this, you can kind of see God's sovereignty along with man's responsibility. And again, this is a what you would call a theological tension that has existed basically for ever since the Word of God has been written. And I feel like it is a real gift to be able to read it and have God's Spirit speak directly to you and to give you conviction on exactly what this means. Okay. Try to lay the foundation here with you through the Romans road. Okay, so can someone please turn to Romans chapter 3? And we're not going to go through every single verse here in the Romans road. We're going to focus on the main ones that you have probably already memorized, already know. But Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 23. Isaac.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Wait. Oh, for all I've seen is fallen short of the glory of God.
You're jumping ahead. That's okay. All right. Yeah, so Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay. Can someone explain to me, what does this mean?
It means that we're separated from God and we can't go to heaven?
Yes, we are separated from God, okay? All have sinned, we all fall short. When you fall short, you're not reaching your destination, right? You're what other things? And feel free, Danielle and Rob, Isaac. Yes, Stephen.
So God has a standard of perfection. None of us can meet that standard of perfection. And so that's why the wording fall short is written there.
That's right.
And so when it's all have sinned, we all have sinned.
Right.
And so when it says fall short, we all fall short of God's glory.
Right, right. Yeah, and so God has a standard, and we are incapable of achieving that standard in our own efforts, okay? All have sinned. What does that mean?
It means that we've all done something that is wrong in God's mm-hmm. eyes.
Yep. What does sin mean?
All the bad things we do.
Okay, bad things we do. Any other color on that?
Anything that we say, think, or do that's wrong.
Word, thought, or deed. That's right. Things that are not pleasing to God. Okay? And boy, I mean, you can think of a lot of things where might think something, say something, offend someone, all right? So, you know, what Stephen said about falling short and not meeting that standard, Well, God expects and demands perfection. Okay, God is holy, God is righteous, and we fall short of that. Okay? So the problem is not that, okay, we are trying hard and we just can't make it, okay? We're trying, but we're just missing the mark. Yeah, that is sin. Okay, that is technically the definition of sin. The problem is that we have sin. We have a sin nature. Okay, so because of the fall, we have a sin nature, and we are literally—it's in our fallen nature. It's in our DNA to go wayward. Okay, to rebel. To go our own way. Alright? Okay, so let's go to Romans 6:23 now. Okay, so who has Romans chapter?
Oh, let's see. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Good. Okay, Romans 6:23. And I'm going to focus on the first part of this. The wages of sin is death. Okay? What does that mean? What is the wages of sin?
The wages of sin is what we get paid for doing wrong.
That's right. Wages is your earnings. Okay? And what is the payment?
Death.
What is death?
Going to hell instead of heaven.
Going to hell. Okay. Any other? Put on your thinking caps. Yes, Stephen.
Eternal separation from God.
There you go. Separation from God. Okay. Is anybody here afraid of the dark? Silas is afraid of the dark. I mean, I think we're all kind of afraid of the dark. Like,
maybe what's in the dark?
That's right, your imaginations and everything. Okay, like when I think of, like, we sometimes when we think of the lake of fire, okay, eternal separation, we think of hell in those terms. Okay, when I think of separation with God, okay, what is God? God is
light.
Light, excellent. Any other things?
He's love.
Love, right. Light, love.
Sinless.
Sinless, he's holy.
Peace or comfort.
Peace, comfort. Okay, good.
Happiness.
Happiness, joy. Okay. When I think of happiness and joy, I think of life. Abundance, those things, they're wonderful. Okay, all that is God. Okay, light, love, life, joy, peace. Okay, we heard about it this morning in our remembrance service. Okay, imagine being separated from that and being in outer darkness. Forever, for all eternity, okay? I think of loneliness. I think of regret. I think of shame. I think of guilt. I think of, I could be in a much better place. You know, there's just so many things. There's so many terrible things that, that come to mind when I think of being separated from God, okay? So, that is the penalty of sin. And the penalty of sin is a choice. This is part of kind of understanding the tension here and what we're trying to really kind of lift the layer, you know, peel the onion off here, okay? Have you ever heard of someone saying, you know, God is a perfect gentleman. He will never force anyone to be with him forever. Okay, if they really want to reject him, he will oblige. Ever heard that kind of expression? Now, I would say this, the older you get, the more that rings true, okay? Because you just start to see things. You start to examine your own behavior. You start to see other people's lives. You see things that happen and the choices people make. And the one thing that stands out is that God has made his offer of life, light, and love through the person of Jesus Christ. He has made it abundantly clear and available to everybody. And those who choose to turn away, they have decided in their own hearts to make a very willful decision to turn away. Okay, and to reject and to say, no, I don't believe. I don't want that. Okay? So, let's go ahead and move on from this. So, I think it was Isaac who said it was separation without Stephen. Anyways, spiritual death, so physical death is one aspect, okay? Like, we're all is appointed unto man wants to die, and then the judgment. Okay, spiritual death is separation from God, okay? For all eternity and judgment. Romans 5:8. Who would like to find Romans 5:8?
Well, I have memorized. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Excellent. Very good. Okay. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? About 5 minutes left. I'll do that. Okay? So Jesus Christ, okay, and this is going back to Ephesians, God made a way of salvation for us. Okay? And God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? So, let me ask you this. Why did God send the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins? Why did he do that?
Because he loved the world.
He loved the world, yes. He loved human beings in the world, okay? Because each human being has value, and each human being is precious in his sight, and he desires that none be lost, okay? Is it based on how good human beings are? That's right. It says, while we were yet sinners. Okay? While we were yet sinners. It's not while we were righteous. It's not while we were doing good things. It's not while we were obeying the Ten Commandments even. Okay? Okay. The basis of his love is that he wants a relationship with each and every one of us. Okay? And he wants to redeem us and to restore us back into a good relationship with him. Okay? Okay, so we are running out of time here, but I want to go to Romans 5:8. Okay, Romans 10 and 9. Romans 10, verses 9 through 10.
Okay.
Romans 10, verses 9 through 10.
Okay. Then if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, now this is a sound. I just want you guys to think for a minute here, okay? If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. Okay? That is a response to God's offer, his free gift. Okay? If I give you a gift, you are free to accept it or reject it, right? I don't want that. I mean, God's free gift in the person of Jesus Christ is, I mean, do you think there are people who would look at this verse right here and say, I don't want it? Yeah, there are. There are actually, you know, there are people who says, I don't want it, I don't need it. But to us, he is precious. And when we see this free gift, I'm so thankful, because I know myself. I'm so thankful that me and my salvation is not based on me. It's not based on my performance necessarily. Okay? It's not based on my performance and how good I do. It is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Okay? We're out of time, but I'm going to go through this outline real quick again here. Just John 3:16. What happens to us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? We are what? John 3:16.
Have everlasting life.
Okay. There's a term that Jesus uses in John 3:16. It's basically new birth. Okay. You have to be born again. We've all heard that term before. Okay. Can you born again yourself? No. That's God. That's the sovereignty of God. He creates. You become a new creation, okay, at the moment of salvation, all right. So when somebody believes, okay, God forgives their sin, he gives them new life, and the Holy Spirit enters into you and I. Okay, so think of this: God dwells in us, an amazing, amazing fact. Okay, living in the Spirit, right, and then. The evidences of salvation, okay, in Romans 6, okay, I'm just going to sum this up because we're kind of running out of time here, okay, believers no longer want to sin, okay, you might struggle with it, but that struggle is actually a good thing because you don't want to give in to it, okay, that struggle is evidence that you have new life, okay, so fight the good fight. All right. Romans 8, we have a new relationship with God. Okay, Romans 8:15. We cry to God and we say, Abba, Father. He is a loving Father to us. Okay, being a dad myself, all right, there's no one that's more precious than your kids, no matter how naughty they are. All right. You still love them, and you want the best for them, and you give your life for them, all right? The same way, okay, with becoming a true child of God, okay? He loves you, he wants the best for you, and there is nothing you can do to undo your salvation, okay? There is nothing you can do to undo your salvation, because you are in him, okay? The evidences also point to a transformed life, okay? Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, before the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, okay? Okay, anyways, we're out of time. Thank you guys. Let's go ahead and close in prayer, okay? Father, thank you for this time where we can look into your word and go through Romans and Ephesians. And we just pray, oh Father, that as we continue to look into your word and to understand salvation and all the beauties of it, that you would just teach us from your Spirit, O Lord. And we just pray for your blessings the rest of this day now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.